Well, one really cool, awesome things and sometimes frustrating things about social media is how everyone posts pictures of the thing that they're doing in that moment. You guys know what I'm talking about. Like if they're on a great vacation, they're frolicking on the beach, you know, and you're happy for them, kind of. You know, they post something that they're doing. They have a date night. They have a game night with their family. They're eating an awesome steak or, you know, great tacos from wherever that place is you love to go. In-N-Out, is that right? Jack in the Box, right? So we see that. We see the things that people have, things that people do, and we're like, we kind of want to be there, right? I mean, let's be honest, there's a little bit of jealousy when we see something like that. I want to go on a great vacation. We'll even say things. We might not say it out loud, but we'll say, must be nice, right? Well, we're here slugging away, and they're on the beach, whatever it may be. I really do think it's cool. I really do think it's cool, but it does provoke a little bit of jealousy because I just wish I was there. I want whatever that is. But, you know, we're not alone. This isn't the first time this has happened. This has been going on ever since the dawn of day, pretty much. We're starting a new series today called As It Is in Heaven, and we are looking at the Lord's Prayer. And this week, the Lord's Prayer is in the Gospels, but this week we are looking at it in the book of Luke. All right, Luke, he was a doctor, and it's really cool sometimes to see the perspective that he puts on things. And so we're going to start in Luke chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Turn on your Bible app, whatever it may be. I'm also going to have it on the screen. Verse 1 says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.'" We can start right there because what we see is that the disciples were with Jesus. They saw Jesus praying and they said, "I want that," right? They saw something they didn't have and they're like, "That is what we need." See, back then, they didn't have Instagram. They didn't have Facebook. So if you wanted to know what someone else was doing, you know what you had to do? You had to be there with them, right? There's this really cool thing that they did back then. They would like hang out together. I'm not talking Google Hangout. I'm like, they were in each other's presence. They were doing things together. And so Jesus was praying and the disciples were with him. They saw him praying and they're like, "Whoa, I need that," right? I want to be able to pray like that. So they just asked, "Teach us to pray. We want to be able to pray like that. We want to be able to connect with God like that." Isn't that really what we all want? Isn't that really why we are here? I mean, maybe if you are a teenager, your parents drug you here, right? And that's okay. Good job, parents. I say great parenting. But we want to connect with God. We come to church to connect with God. We want to grow in God. We want to know who God is more. We want to be able to connect with him. And if I asked you, what is the one thing you want me to teach you? You would say a myriad of things, but it would all focus on growing in your relationship with God. And that's always our desire here. That's what we want. When we teach anything like this, we want to be able to help you grow in your relationship with God. Specifically, we are setting January aside for this. In January, we are not only going to teach on prayer over the next 4 weeks, but we're also going to challenge you to participate in the 21 days of prayer. Now, we're going to help you with this. So we're not saying, "Hey, go pray 21 days. We're going to help you with this. So you can just look back there at Randy right now. Randy has the paper because I didn't bring mine back up here. But 21 days of prayer, and each week you will get one of those bookmarkish looking things that will explain each day what we're going to be praying about. Right? So this first week, each week we're going to focus on something different. Thank you. Each week we're going to focus on something different. This week we're going to focus on me. Not me, but I mean like you, right? We're going to focus on ourselves and in the sense that we are asking God to help us in the area of confession and repentance. right? That's where we're going to start tomorrow. And then thanksgiving and worship and then wisdom and like how to know what direction to go. You know, in areas of temptation from sin and persevering through difficult times and guidance and influence and be able to have a greater influence in this world. So each week you're going to get one of these. We are also going to be posting that on Facebook. If you haven't liked Level 13 Church, make sure you do. And you will see a post. Included in that will be the theme, a scripture passage, a short devotional, and a prayer, right? We're helping you as much as we can with 21 days of prayers that we can focus on getting to know God better and getting to know who we are in light of who God is. And if we'll also be passing out some emails, so make sure that you are on board with all of that. It's going to be an amazing time of just connecting with God and learning to hear his voice. So there's two basic ways of going through life. We can go through life self-reliant, where we handle our stuff, right? We can handle the things that are coming our way. We can kind of go through life. We spend a lot of time here being self-reliant. And then we can also go through life God-reliant, right? That when we really need him. And so what we find is that we spend most of our time here handling our own stuff. We can handle most things until a crisis hits, right? A really difficult moment, and we come over here, we fall on our face, we pray, and we're like, God, please, please help in this situation, whatever it may be. You could all name them right now. Like, God, I need you. And God answers. And then things start going well. Things start going better. And what do? We drift back into self-reliance. I can handle this. I can handle that until another crisis hits and we're over here again. We go back and forth between being self-reliant and being God-reliant. See, the reality is when we only go to God here in those moments, when we only go to God, when we have those crisis moments, what we're saying about our relationship with him is that it only exists in the midst of my problems. Like my relationship with God only exists here. If we don't also become God-reliant every other time of our life, whether things are good or whether things are bad. If you want to know something about prayer, this could be huge. Your prayer life is the outward representation of your relationship with God. A prayer life defined only by crisis moments reveals only a relationship in difficult times, which, let's be honest, it's not a relationship. When it comes to prayer, we have two different kinds of prayer. We have the rescue prayer, God help, and then we have this relational prayer where we're praying and we're talking and having conversation with God as we do in relationship with people through the ups and downs, through the daily realities of life. But relationships are hard, aren't they? Relationships with people are hard, and we can see them. Relationships are difficult because they take time, they take energy, and they take effort. When it comes to our relationship with God, we somehow think it should just be there. Like if I come to church weekly, or close to that, then our relationship with God should just be there. It'll be fine. But I'm not sure what it's like in your house. But if my relationship with my wife only had 1 or 2 hours a week, we would struggle. She wants more than 1 or 2 hours a week, right? She wants a lot. I want more than 1 or 2 hours a week. For a relationship to be strong, we need that. Relationships take time. They take effort, and they take learning. Growing in your faith takes time, takes effort, takes learning. Prayer itself takes time, it takes effort, and it takes learning. Because if you don't really know how to pray, you might not even like to pray. Right? If you don't really know how to do it, you're not really going to like it. I remember the first time I ever played golf. First time I ever played golf, I was 10 years old. I was in the fourth grade, and my dad always played golf, and I really wanted to play. I saw him play. He went to the club. He was in, you know, he was in leagues. He hung out with the guys. It was just really cool, and I really wanted to play golf. But I just never, he never let me. So finally, it came fourth grade. It was at a tournament. It was on a Saturday, the Optimist Club. I remember it so vividly well. And my older brother was also with me. My younger brother was a little too young. And so we were playing. We played the first four holes. I think I, you know, had an average of a 12 on a hole. I don't really know for sure. But I do remember that I didn't like the game. Like, I wanted to play so bad. And then I get out there and I start playing. And I'm like, this is horrible, right? The ball doesn't go anywhere. I can't even get the ball in the air. Like, this is a horrible game. And maybe you play golf now and you think the same thing. But it finally, we got to hole number five, and so I was teeing it up. My brother had already hit, my dad had already hit, and I was last because I had the worst score. So my dad, he'd played before, so he knew exactly what to do, and so I'm teeing off there, and my dad's back here. He's watching where the ball goes, which I'm not sure why because it doesn't go very far. But my brother, my older brother, was standing like right here. Right, he'd already hit. He's looking that way, waiting for me to hit so he can go get his ball. And I am standing right here hitting the ball. And I probably weighed about 40 pounds. And I got everything into that. I just swung with everything that I had. Right? Looking for the ball. The ball didn't go that way. The ball went that way. And my brother was standing right here. And it hit him right here. Down to one knee, down on his, just all the way down, out cold, concussed. We had to call the ambulance. They drove out on the golf course to get him, and he just laid there, right? Out cold. So my first experience with golf, not only did I about kill my brother, but I just didn't like it, right? That ball is small. That's small. And you're approaching that thing. I think at one point in my golf career, I could approach that ball at about 115 miles an hour or something like that. I don't know. It's ridiculous. That's hard. Golf is just hard. See, the fact is, you won't enjoy something that you don't know how to do. You won't enjoy something that you're not trained to do. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes a whole lot of learning. I think this is a huge point when it comes to our prayer life. When we haven't been trained or we haven't learned how to pray, we might not necessarily hate it, we might not necessarily despise it, but we will dismiss it. When we don't know how to do it, we'll dismiss it. So with the disciples, they wanted to learn. They needed to learn. Which is exactly why they're asking Jesus the question. And what we find with his answer is that the biggest difference in regards to our prayer life is relationship. Real prayer is driven by relationship, not a need, not a crisis. So over the next few weeks, we're going to go through the Lord's Prayer. But today, I want to talk about an overriding principle in regards to prayer, right? We find it here in Luke, and what we'll find in Luke has to do with the word persistence. Because in Luke, it's not about this intensity of belief. Like the effect of prayer wasn't because, oh, you just believe hard enough, you know, and it's going to happen. And it's not about the absence of doubt. In Luke, what we find, the most important aspect that he talks about in regards to prayer is a persistent daily practice of prayer. A persistent daily practice of prayer. It's praying and still praying and still praying. Now, you might ask me, you're like, well, doesn't God know everything? Yes. Doesn't he want to give his children things that are good? Yes. So if God hears us the first time we pray, why do we have to keep praying the same thing? Right? Why does God ask us to persist in prayer? Why should we have to keep asking God for what he already knows we're going to ask him? Why do we need to persist? The reason is he wants us to persist in prayer because persistence is for our sake, not his. For our sake, not God's. In verse 5, it says, then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. Who has 3 loaves of bread? Anyway, you say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me, the door is locked for the night and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. Right? So you get this picture. Like you go to someone's house and you're like, hello, hello, I need a penny, you know what I'm talking about? Anyway. So eventually, they're going to get up because just to shut you up, you know, it's like this shameless persistence. If you look at it in the old King James Version, shameless persistence is translated as importunity. And it's not a word that I use, and I'm sure it's not a word that you use. I didn't even know what that thing meant. But importunity is when you beg someone to do something. It's like your kids begging you. Please, please take me to the mall, right? Please, can I have the car? Please, can you go give me a pop? Whatever it is, right? It's just long enough. You're like, fine, I'll do it. This is the idea that we have in this shameless persistence. Let's keep going. Verse 9. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Like you're begging. Persistence is a key to prayer. It's a key to prayer. Because persistence does something for you. And maybe more than anything else, persistence helps you find your need. Helps you find your need. See, the only way persistence comes into prayer is when we realize that we have nothing. Right? When we come to the place where we have no plan B, there's no alternative. It's when we are destitute that we become persistent in prayer. Like there's no other option. So I just keep coming back to the Lord, coming back to the Lord, coming back to the Lord. Unfortunately, though, in our culture, it is so easy to seem like we have things figured out. We have our life together. If we don't feel like it, we can act like it. We can think life makes sense, but in all actuality, in the spiritual reality, it doesn't. We don't have it all together. We always, always have a need. So I believe the reason we don't pray is because we don't really feel, we don't really recognize our need. Like, I'll come to God when I have the need and I'll spend time in prayer then. But if we don't feel like we need, if we don't feel like we have a need, we'll live here in self-reliance. But if we can understand and realize we always have need, because we will never be full of God, well, there will always be more that he can give us, more that we can learn, more that we can be filled up. If we understand that we always are in need, that's when we become persistent in prayer. It's so important because persistence, what it does is it connects you with God. It's about a connection to the source, not the resource that the source provides. Because at the real center of prayer is not the outcome that we want, but it's a relationship with our Creator. Prayer is not about something. Prayer is always about someone. Persistence in prayer is so important because it deepens our relationship with God. It compels our hearts to examine what we really want. Do you really want God's will? I think the best thing that could happen to our prayer life is frustration in prayer. Like you keep praying, right? And you're like, why don't I hear? Why don't I know? Why don't I know which direction to go? And you just keep praying, you keep praying, you keep praying. That could be the best possible thing for us. Do we really want God's will? Do we really want God more than we want the thing that we are asking for, the thing we are praying about? Because if not, then for God to answer our prayer for whatever it is we think we need or whatever it is that we're asking for him to do that, even if it's a good thing, might be the most unloving thing God could do. See, our natural inclination is to use God, not love God. That's why Jesus teaches us to pray that God's kingdom and God's will be done. Because a lot of times, his will and our will, they just don't jive. They just don't match up. They're different. Jesus tells us to keep seeking and keep knocking and keep asking, because that act, the very act of keep doing it, the very act of persistence, forces us to ask whether or not it is really my will or if it's God's will. The more you ask for something and you're frustrated by not having an answer, the more you realize, maybe I'm not praying for the right things. What do I really want? What do I really need? And I pray for that. Pray for God's will. Because it's not about the stuff. It's not about the resources. It's about the source of life. Now, persistence doesn't guarantee that you're going to get what you ask for, but it does promise that you will get something far better, something actually closer to what your heart's desire really is. God will answer your prayers, and what we will find is that the answer is always, always, always more of himself. It's always a better relationship with him. So I have this thing, and I love this. It's one of my prized possessions during the month of January. Let me tell you what this is. This is the Starbucks refill cup, right? And so my amazing wife got this for me for Christmas. And so then every day I can get up in the morning, I can go to Starbucks, hand them an empty cup, and they will fill it with hot coffee. It is awesome. And I don't have to pay for it because she already did. But I can go there and I'll fill that thing up. This morning I went to Starbucks and I'm like, here, fill this up. But see, there's a problem at my Starbucks right now. And it's a real big problem. All they have is Italian roast. I don't know if you ever drink Italian roast. It's the worst. It's the worst. Italian roast, French roast. I don't want to go to Europe. They don't know how to drink coffee. So as soon as I walk in and I see Italian roast, I'm like, oh. But I go there enough that I went up there and I'm like, hey, Italian. And they're like, no problem. What do you want? I'll make a French press for you. I'm like, you love me. So I got something I liked. I know, spoiled, totally spoiled. But see, I go there because I know that every time I go there, they're going to fill this thing up. And I'll go there once, twice, three times a day sometimes. I know it says only go once, but yeah, they just keep filling it up. Every time I hand them the cup, they just keep filling it up. It's amazing. It's amazing. It was hot at 6:30 this morning. So if you knew somebody and they told you, I want to give you $10,000 every day, but you have to be at my door at 6 o'clock in the morning. How many people getting up early, right? We're going to be there. Ding dong, here I am. $10,000. I get it today again. If we really want something bad enough, if we really value it enough, we're going to make it happen. See, this isn't a guilt you into acting right idea. This is a life-saving idea. I don't want you to feel guilty about not doing something right. I want you to realize that when we don't, we miss out on so much. We miss out on some amazing things from God. Jesus says, persist, because God wants to give you good. This is exactly what Jesus explains in the next few verses. Verse 11 says, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if you ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God wants to give you good, and he always has. In Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve, they ate from the only tree they weren't allowed to eat from, and now they are in the garden, and they're kind of hiding, right? Kind of hiding from God. They knew what they did was wrong, and so they're hiding. And they're trying to figure things out on their own. They drifted immediately over to self-reliance. And they're like, all right, I'll just make my own clothes. Right? So they're hiding, and they're like, okay, I'm gonna become self-reliant. And what does God say? Adam, where are you? Like he needed to know, right? Adam, where are you? And then the rest of the Bible is God finding us, God seeking us, never giving up, never relenting. God won't take no for an answer. One day, every knee will bow. One day, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God persists. And has persisted, continues to persist with you. He never gives up on you. So don't give up. Persist. Persist in prayer. Let me end with this picture. The prayer of desperation that we have, right? When we are in deep need and we're praying, we have to, is a lot like this. Right? We love a sparkler. I mean, who doesn't love a sparkler? Right? The smell of it is awesome, right? The glow of it is awesome. And as soon as you get it, you just can't help but doing things like this, right? And you make all sorts of signs and things like that. And, you know, you just do. You love it. We love sparklers. I love it when the kids get them. And I'm like, can I do that too? But we love sparklers. But see, there's a problem with sparklers. They don't last. Right? They're great for a second. They're great for a minute. But then they're gone. But see, this is what's amazing about God, is that God answers sparkler prayers. When you're in desperation and you're in need and you're begging and you're pleading, you're like, God, be here now. He answers those prayers. When we come to him in desperation, he answers that. But what he's asking for is persistent prayer, a continual relationship. He's asking for something more like this. You ever try to read or keep warm by a sparkler? It doesn't happen. But keep warm, read by candle, by a fireplace. It's something that continues and continues. It provides sustaining warmth, sustaining light. But see, look, check this out. We go to God in our daily realities, whether they're good or bad. It sustains our relationship. Our relationship grows look how easy this is. Right? We don't have to go find the lighter. We don't have to find our relationship with God again. We don't have to go to him and say, you know I haven't come to you in a long time, and I know I got this going on in my life and all this kind of stuff. No, when we have the sustaining light of this relationship and persistent prayer, we can light these sparkler prayers. We can be in desperation. And then when he answers and it goes out, we don't drift back into self-reliance, because we have the light of Christ here, consistent. Keep on praying. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. We keep the fire of our life, our relationship with our Creator, with God, bright, with persistent prayer. So, we're going to practice. We're going to practice 21 days of prayer. Seek God. Keep asking. You can use this as your guide. You can decide to do something else. That's fine. But the challenge is pray every day for 21 days. 21 days. Daily, persistent prayer. Keep on praying. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Let's pray. Father. Father, we come to you today, not because of anything in us, not because we have anything, not because you become better by us coming to you. We don't come to you, Father, because you need to know what we're asking. We come to you because we want more of you. We want to know you. You know us completely. You know everything about us. You know us intimately. Help us to know you more. Father, I pray that we accept this challenge to connect with you. I pray, Father, for each and every one here. God, as they connect with you, that you're showing up, that you are present, that you are hanging out together, learning. The God, that we spend time in worship, we spend time in prayer, we spend time connecting with other people, also that we can know you more. We're desperate for you. Desperate for you. And so we pray, and we pray, and we pray.